Hello, you're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is the Winter 2019 Anime Season Preview. We have winter coming right around the corner. Shows are wrapping up for the fall season, and so it's time to give people a kind of perspective on what's coming up around the corner, in case you haven't heard already, and our thoughts on how they're going to play out, give you a synopsis, give you the studios that are working on them, and kind of an idea of what we can kind of see behind the curtain, who's working on it, maybe notable directors and writers and stuff like that, and before moving on to the next one and the next one on. It is a pretty it's a pretty small season. I mean, it's still like 30 plus shows, and you still technically have like 8 shows carrying over from fall. Like there's so many shows that are going to be kind of two coring through the season, plus you have some that are going three cores as well, a few little sequels in there, quite a bit of sequels that we're kind of excited for, but overall, like, new shows, not really too much, so this might actually be a quick preview for once.
Nah, that would never happen.
The only unfortunate thing here, and
you can extend it out by doing a monkey or something.
No, I'm not doing the monkey thing. The unfortunate thing is, and to kind of let people know, we are technically recording this a little bit early, probably about a week earlier than I usually like to, which isn't hugely significant, but as usual for these previews, everything's subject to change. Some of these shows could fall off. Some of these new shows can show up out of nowhere. It is kind of one of those things with doing previews that sometimes things shift. Plus, there could be some changes in the guard, so to speak. People working on them can change. New things can come to light. There's a couple shows that I had literally nothing listed for them, so that can happen. But overall, I think I have a pretty good perspective on what's coming up here. So,
true. They could dump the entire list and then come up with a whole nother list.
Mm-hmm. We're just going full CGI shows.
Yeah, they could do that too.
Just get rid of it all and replace it all with crummy CGI, and that'll be the season. But yeah, I guess we can jump right into it. Like I said, we'll go through all these shows that are seemingly new. There are some that are kind of reboots, but I ended up putting them in the new list anyways just because they're not direct sequels. You can actually watch them without having watched anything prior to it. Then we'll go into shows that are returning for new seasons and then get into shorts and then kind of the carryovers and ones and movies. We'll get into that stuff as well, so that's always fun. And then we'll give our ideas on what shows are our favorites. So do you have a pen and paper ready for that?
Oh, I need to, huh?
Do you actually want to prepare this time?
Probably better. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Here, that and a pen.
I'm going to go grab a pen from my room.
I have a little notepad right here. There's a pen up there. I have everything you need.
All right.
You ready now?
I'm guessing.
Okay. Let's start off with the first one, which you have is Tate no Yusha no Nariagari. Or The Rising of the Shield Hero. This is actually one that I've heard a couple little whispers about over the last few years, so it's kind of interesting to finally see this one come out as an adaptation. This one is Naofumi Iwatani, an uncharismatic otaku who spends his days on games and manga, suddenly finds himself summoned to a parallel universe. Isekai show! he discovers he is one of four heroes equipped with legendary weapons and tasked with saving the world from its prophesized destruction. As a shield hero, the weakest of the heroes, all is not as it seems. Naofumi is soon alone, penniless, and betrayed, with no one to turn to and nowhere to run. He is left with only his shield. Now Naofumi must rise to become the legendary shield hero and save the world, and then is joined with a puppy girl. I don't know why they didn't include any knowledge of the puppy girl, but there is a puppy girl that she should have been in the synopsis. She seems pretty important in the PV, so that gusting is crazy. The studios working on this one is Kinema Citrus, who, of course, worked on Made in Abyss, Barakamon, Revue Starlight here recently, Yu Yu Shiki, Ping Pong Girls. The genres are action, adventure, comedy, drama, fantasy, romance, and seinen. And the source of this one is a light novel, which is 19 volumes ongoing. So we'll probably never see a conclusion to this. Yeah, this one, I don't know what to think of it. I think the puppy girl is really cute, and so hopefully she will be a cool little chemistry with him. It does seem like it is going to be relatively dark. I don't know how dark. It looks pretty gruesome towards the later parts of it. It shows like a little flashback of the, I don't know what her name is, so I'm going to keep calling her puppy girl. She might not even be a puppy girl. She could be something completely different, like a panther girl. But it looks like she's recalling something really gruesome in her past, and something looks like terribly happens to Naofumi at some point, and she's pretty upset about it. So it looks like it will be the PV for it gives me ReZero feels. Not that he's going to die and resurrect over and over again, just the tone seems to be in that nature. I didn't see too much lightheartedness in the trailer, so that could shift a little bit there, but yeah, I'm pretty interested in it. I'm not too, like, I do like that he's a unique hero. He's a shielder.
He's a tank.
Yeah, a tank. There you go. So we'll see. We'll see what goes. The animation, everything looks pretty solid. Character designs look solid. So I'm on board with it.
I'm absolutely, like, super excited about this show. Ever since I first heard of this, and everybody who's ever I've ever heard talking about this story wise has been absolutely a phenomenal praise of this story. So I can't wait to see how it all plays out. It seems like it's going to be a solid, just the wholehearted show.
The only questionable thing I can say about the PV, and I don't know if it might just be that there's going to be some story explanation of why it seems that there is actually a time frame there. The girl looks like she's changing in age. Like, one shot she looks like she's like 12. One shot she looks like she's in late teens. I mean, it's almost like it can't decide. I know there's some scenes in there that are flashbacks, but some scenes are literally with him in the picture, and she looks younger than what she does in other shots. So I don't know if maybe a lot of time is going to pass in the first story beats that it's going to go through that the PV's covering, but hopefully they won't be inconsistent with the character design. Is all I'm saying. But yeah, I'm definitely on board with it. So we'll see how it turns out. Just another Isekai show, Chris. We're supposed to go meh. I didn't. The only other unfortunate thing is I didn't see anybody significant working on this. Again, they could be adding new people later on, but. What I was able to look up so far, nothing significant for the team-wise anyways. But Kinema Citrus is it's a pretty solid studio. I know that it's not indicative of them completely, but they technically did review Starlight, which was original, Made in Abyss. Again, different directors and everything like that. So don't think that is completely a sign of them. So, yeah. Moving forward, another one that I have heard a lot of whispering about over time is... this one that's being adapted now, which is The Promised Neverland, or Yakusoku no Neverland. This one is, the synopsis is, Emma, Norman, and Ray are the brightest kids at the Gracefield House Orphanage, and under the care of a woman they refer to as Mom, all the kids have enjoyed comfortable life, good food, clean clothes, and a perfect environment to learn. What more could an orphan ask for? One day, though, Emma and Norma uncover a dark truth of the outside world they were forbidden from seeing. This studio is Cloverworks, which did Persona 5 and did a sisterial work for Darling in the Franxx and Slow Start, so they don't really have too much under their belt, but hopefully that won't hold them back. The genres are sci-fi, mystery, horror, and shonen, and the source is a 11-volume manga that is ongoing. And the interesting people working on this is Mamoru Kanbei, who did Elfin Lied, Sora no Woto, and Perfect Insider, as well as series composition being done by Toshiya Uno, who did Gatchaman Crowds and Land of the Lustrous. So two really solid people working on this one to kind of bring my hopes back up from it being Cloverworks working on it. So solid team working on it, and a decent studio, hopefully, that will be able to put it to work. Like I said, I've heard a couple of whispering about this one. I think the only thing that's kind of off-putting just by watching the PV is that the characters' faces look, like, extremely small to their faces. Like, their facial features, like the eyes and mouth, look, like, extremely small in the scale of their actual faces. Like, they have a lot of empty space in there. So I'm assuming that's just a character design. This is a design that they had for the original source material or something. But it is a little bit weird-looking. How their faces are all different. Anyways, yeah, that's, unfortunately with the PV wise, I just found a bunch of like short CMs. So they're like literally, 15 seconds each, and there's like five of them. And it's just quick little snippets of either the, Uberworld doing the music for it, some other group doing the other music for it. different seiyu, stuff like that. So hard to get a full perspective on it. I did find that when I was looking up information about it, it was a lot of people chattering about it and hinting at certain aspects of it. So be very careful you look about anything on this one, because it looks like there's a lot of there might be a lot of spoilers out there, especially like if you look up just looking up PVs on YouTube. There's just tons of people posting reactions to certain volumes, posting just complete scans of the manga itself. So be careful looking around for information on it. For it as a synopsis itself, I'm not like hugely, I mean, yeah, I sometimes like those types of stories, the kids in a place are and no science. I mean, like from the New World, the whole idea of, you know, you can't go past this point, or you see the secrets that are out in the world that you're not supposed to see. The only thing that's kind of scary about it is that the key art itself just makes me kind of cringe a little bit. I'm hoping it won't be too angsty kids kind of thing, because that usually kind of off-puts me, but we'll see. It has promise.
I myself, I'm not getting too much from the show. I don't, when I watched the PV, I didn't get much from it. The synopsis doesn't give me a whole lot of hope for it. So I really only have mostly just the artwork and the PV to go on, and neither of them are really kind of gripping me. So
we'll say it's nice that for once we have PVs that don't tell you everything about what's going on.
I know, right?
They are very small snippets. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Next one we have, oh my gosh, one that Andrew is like going to overhype, and it's going to suck if it fails because he's overhyping it. But I am super jazzed for this one. This is Boogie Pop Wada Wanai, or Boogie Pop Never Laughs. This one is, there is an urban legend that children tell their one another about a Shinigami that can release people from the pain that they may be suffering. The angel of death has a name, Boogie Pop, and the legends are true. Boogie Pop is real. Again, this is a kind of a rebooting of the original one. It was a light novel back in the day. They had an adaptation that Madhouse did back in 2000, and now they are, for some reason, I am perfectly fine with it. They are, for some reason, doing a actual re-adaptation of it, and I am super jazzed for it because I really enjoy the original Boogie Pop Phantom. It was a nice kind of psychological horror type show. I'm hoping we have the return of psychological horror. We need some good psychological horror shows.
I'm really mixed on this. I really, really, really want to hit this one up, but I'm so, I mean, it looked really dark when I was watching the PV. So it's like, oh, this is like legendary show. I have to watch it just based on that alone. Yeah.
Were you bothered by the head dropping off of the girl on the wires?
No, it wasn't. Nothing like that.
There's so much gore in the PV that they released here recently. So it's like, yeah, this one's going to be dark. It's going to be gruesome. It's going to be brutal. It's just like an old school horror show, and I'm so up for it. I mean, it's not like that stupid type of horror that's just over the top. It's just kind of unsettling horror, which is something that we really haven't seen much of recently. If anything, it's just too much. This one kind of has that tone already set for it that I'm excited for. So again, Madhouse is doing this one as well. Again, Madhouse did the original one, did Parasite, Wolf Children, Summer Wars, Dino Coil, tons of great series. Again, the source is a light novel. The people behind this one, is we have Aoyuki will be voicing one of the characters in it. Myth and Roy is going to be doing music for it. If you check out the second PV, they actually have Myth and Roy's music in there. I think I'll probably have it in the opening or the closing for this episode. I didn't really find anybody notable that's working on this one, but like I said, I have a lot of high hopes for it. Just based off the PV itself, it already looks great. The animation, the sound design, music, everything is just kind of telling me this is going to be really, really cool to come back. So I'm hype. I'm super hype. I hope it lives up to my hype. It is probably the one that I'm looking forward to the most this season. So the return of Boogie Pop. I'm excited for it. Yep, yep. Did I gush enough?
No. A solid gush would be probably about 10 minutes worth, and we've only got about 2 minutes out of that one.
Yeah. Let's move on, though. Kaguya-sama wa Kokura Setai Tensai Tachi no Renai Zunosen? Or Kaguya-sama Love is War. This one is Kaguya Shinomiya and Miyuki Shirogane are the members of an incredibly prestigious Shuichin Academy's student council, asserting their position as geniuses amongst geniuses. All the time they spend together has caused the two of them to develop feelings for each other, but their pride will not allow them to be the one to confess and become the submissive one in the relationship. Love is war, and the battle to make the other one confess now begins. It's an interesting synopsis for what I was thinking the show was going to be about.
This actually just makes it even 10 times more amazing. I get a really big kick out of this story. Just going off of the video alone, it was one of those, what exactly are they going for here? And as I'm watching it, I'm getting more and more kind of curious about it. And then I was like, okay, is this going to be some kind of cheesy mix between, what was that? Not Assassination Classroom, but the Yuri classroom, where it was a battle royale, but it was Yuri couples that kept coupling up, and then they would have to kill each other, and that was the whole synopsis. And it was it sounds almost like that, where but it has something to do with kind of convincing the other person. Riddle Story of Devil. Yeah, you got it. Where or is it kind of like that, where they're actually having a battle royale, or is it a matter of trying to convince the other one to confess their love just before you kill them, because that makes it to where they can't kill you and stuff like that. So it was all kinds what of ideas hell? Running. Yeah, all kinds of ideas were running through my head, and then
why
we
is
got
that
this.
Okay to you, but not Boogie Pop? The idea of killing people before, right after you confess to them, is great.
That was where my okay, what is this exactly? Are we doing here? And then, so I don't know if we're gonna get this dark, but it does look like a lot of fun. If it is just a thing of being the submissive one in the relationship, that is a kick.
I think that's the kind of the only unfortunate thing about it is it looks like it's gonna be like that kind of edgy dark, but it's not gonna be dark. You know, it's not gonna be dark. I could be wrong, though. We'll see. A1 Pictures is working on that one. Again, they do Granblue Fantasy, Servant X Service, Sword Online, tons of shows. That's going to be too much to list. These genres are comedy, psychological, romance, school, and seinen. The source is a manga that has 11 volumes ongoing. And the director that working on this is Shinichi Omata, who did Shōgen Roku Raku Shinju and Grand Crest Senki. So, decent director to working on it. Hopefully he can pull something cool out of that. The PV didn't really, like I said, didn't really give me anything. I was kind of getting vibes of that, just a school battler is what I was kind of getting out of it. So it was kind of nice getting a synopsis out of this one. Good character designs, though. They're kind of decent. They're different. A little slightly different than usual.
I do. I kind of hope it's just cheesy fun and not turned into something. Because it does have this mix where it just seems like it might go dark. I really do hope it doesn't. I hope it just gets just cheesy fun.
I will admit that the PB kind of makes it look a little generic, so hopefully not. Moving forward, another one that I'm pretty dang excited about. This is kind of another one of those to add to the list of titles that MAPPA is kind of bringing back. Currently working on this in his studio, MAPPA and Tezuka Productions, but Dororo. This one is Dororo, a young orphan thief, falls into the company of Hyakimura Amaru, a powerful demon-hunting ronin. Before Hyakimaru's birth, his father, a greedy feudal lord, made a pact with 40 demons and let them each take a piece of his unborn son's body. In return for granting him great power, Zed was born without arms, legs, and eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. Barely a human creature, and his father had him thrown into a river. He was rescued by and raised by Dr. Honma, who made him artificial limbs and helped him learn to fight the demons. Each time he defeats one of them and reclaims one piece of his body, now he is he and Dororo travel together through the war-torn countryside. So basically, for some reason I butchered that synopsis. Guy basically gave body parts of this child to demons and discarded the leftovers of the child. Person raises the child and gives him limbs to work with. And he goes around and kills all the demons in order to get back his body parts. So the PV definitely makes sense now because he is brutal as hell. this is, a bit, of course, based off of a really old manga series. It was way back in 1967 this manga series was out. They did an adaptation of it in 1969 as an anime. And then in 2007, they did a live action of this. So now we're finally doing another anime adaptation of it with MAPPA. And they definitely do seem like they're capturing an old art style to it. It looks very brutal. Really awesome art style. Great animation going on in it. And like I said, it is also capturing that old school brutality. It just looks very gruesome, violent, and he looks really mad. He's got, like, of course, he's got missing limbs, and so he's got, like, blades in his missing arms, and he's just running around slicing up people and carrying his limbs that he took off. It just looks crazy, so definitely excited for this one.
Dang it, MAPPA.
What? Okay, let's see here. Action, adventure, demons, historical, shonen, and supernatural. The producers are Twin Engines. They've been doing a lot of really cool stuff with pulling some old stuff in and adaptations of things we don't normally get, so I'm really liking Twin Engines in that regard. Director is Kazuhiro Furuhashi, who did Geekbackers, Hunter x Hunter, Gundam Unicorn, Rurouni Kenshin, so you got some cool Rurouni action there in the fighting styles. Series composition is Yasuko Kobayashi, who did Claymore, Garo, Kakegurui, Shiraku Nanashana, Attack on Titan, so just an awesome director and series composition writer that I'll be working together on this one. So everything about this says Andrew's going to love it. So right there with Boogie Bop Phantom is another one that I'm just really excited for. So
again, dang it, MAPPA.
Okay. Moving on, we have Go Tobun no Hanayomi, or Five Tobun no Hanayomi, or the quintessential quintuplets. This one is, one day, a poor high school second year named Futaro Uesugi comes across a private tutoring gig with good pay, but his pupils are his classmates, and they're quintuplets, and they're all gorgeous girls. Okay, this is really weirdly written. But they're also troublemakers who hate to study and are on the verge of flunking out, and his first task is to simply gaining the sister's trust. Every day is a party, the curtain is rising on blah, 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 stupid stuff. This one's being done by Tezuka Productions, and of course they did Astro Boy, Blackjack. They're just a studio that's been around for a really long time. These genres are harem, comedy, romance, school, and shonen. The sources of manga. The series composition writer and scriptwriter is Keichiro Ochi, who did Hinamatsuri. And, yeah. Did you already write it down on your thing? Oh, you wrote da-da-da-da. We started moving on to this one, and you started writing something. I'm like, man, he's like harem writing that one down. Mm-hmm. So interested in that. Sadly, I don't have a PV to go with, so it's just literally.
Yeah, it seems cute. I can say I'm interested just based on cheesy harem. I love cheesy harems. So
can you work with just harem, or does it have to be ecchi harem?
Exactly, that's the question. there's too much up in the air on this one, so I can't really just jump all 100% in. It's just, I hope so.
One thing I will say is we didn't have PV with actual animation in it, but we did have PVs that just said, here's the seiyus, and just showed stills of the manga. A lot of really good seiyus that are working on it. I know that one is Ochiko from My Hero Academia. She's going to be one of the characters in there, so
I'm on board.
That's always good. Mm-hmm. So we're on a positive note there, even though we don't have a PV to work with. Next one we have is Revisions. This is a prediction. An extreme crisis will befall the five of you someday. At the time, you five will protect everyone. Daisuke Dojima is a second-year high school student who, as a child, was kidnapped. Daisuke, along with his friends Gai, Lu, Marima, and Marimari, and Keisaku get wrapped up in a mysterious phenomenon known as the Shibuya Drift. The central area of Shibuya rises and is transported at least 300 years in the future, quote-unquote, the future. What awaits them is a vast wasteland and forest dotted with ruins. There, they will work with the future people, Revisions, to operate giant mechanical monsters. Daisuke meets a girl named Milo and has the same name as a person who kidnapped Daisuke. Milo informs Daisuke that he's the only one that can operate the doll weapon string puppet and protect Shibuya. Daisuke and his friends must take back the present and fight for the future of the town of Isolation against an unknown enemy. So it is Shirogumi that only really worked to help with Urahara and Etotama. You can probably assume it's the CGI they did with Etotama because this is an entire CGI project. The source isn't original. The director is Goro Taniguchi, who did Code Geass, Mari the Virgin Witch, and Planetus. And the creator is Makoto Fukami, who did script work for Psycho Pass and School Live. So yeah. This is a Netflix project, by the way, so get ready for this one to probably appear in summer or spring of 2019, unfortunately. The one fun thing that I did notice about the PV is that I was totally thinking this guy looks just like Shinji. His face looks just... And he's getting in a mecha robots. Is he totally a ripoff of Shinji? He looks like Shinji and he has to pilot the mecha. Oh man, there's too many correlations there that I cannot ignore, but hopefully he doesn't have daddy issues. But no, I did like the concept of it. It looked really cool. It looked really, really post-apocalyptic. Now I know that they're transported somewhere, not that they just, everything outside of their town got destroyed. Based off the fact that I just watched the PV before this. It does look good. The CGI looks decent. It does have a little bit of stiffness there, but I do like the kind of more cel-shaded look to the characters rather than a full CGI look of the characters. So it does look like they did a pretty decent job on the CGI. So hopefully we won't have to wait too long for this one, because this is kind of one of those ones where if it doesn't look like it's doing all too much and it releases in summer, it makes it more difficult to go back and commit to go back and actually check it out. Shows like this kind of get lost in the fray.
The only thing that I was thinking the entire time was this is going to be one of those Andy kick back and forth shows where he can't decide if he likes it or not.
Well, you think it's going to be a crossing?
No, just one of those shows where you like the concept of it, but you don't like the CGI or something like that.
Or something doesn't get executed properly, yeah. Being original, at least we can hope that it'll have a decent conclusion. That's the upside. But yeah, well, we can actually get to watch it when it's being aired, hopefully. Come on, Netflix. Let's make a change for 2019, Netflix. Let's make a change for 2019. Next one we have is, well, it being Netflix being already labeled on it, hopefully it'll be one of those ones where they just drop the entire show. That could be a thing. Anyways, Domestic Na Konojo, or Domestic Konojo, or Domestic Girlfriend, sorry. High schooler Natsuo is hopelessly in love with the cheerful and popular teacher Hina. However, one day, a mixer, he meets a moody girl named Rui and ends up sleeping with her. Soon after, his father announces that he is getting remarried to a woman with two daughters of her own. And who shows up in tow other than both Hina and Rui? Natsuo's outrageous new life starts. What are the odds of this?
Dude, I've got some issues. I would hate to be him.
Oh, man. I mean, it was... Okay, when I was watching the PV, what I got from the PV was literally, okay, this is a teacher and he's sleeping with his students? This is questionable here? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was getting, was that he was sleeping with the teacher.
No, I got that he was sleeping with a kid, and then he was interested in a teacher. I got student right there. I didn't get teacher out of that girl.
I was a little bit, I was honestly confused by the PV. So I didn't, and now reading the synopsis is like, oh man, no, I didn't know it was, so they were different people. I was a little bit confused of the hair. That's what I was more confused of, was the hair was okay. Is this a back? I couldn't figure it out. So
what's the hair? What are we talking about? The hair?
Her hair went from long to short. It was confusing the crud out of me, and so I just flipped it on to the next PV because it was like, okay, obviously I'm not going to get this in 2 seconds. I thought we were time jumping all over the place in this PV. So
So yeah, we're gonna go from basically teacher having sex with student to teacher having sex with his new sister, I guess.
No. The teacher, he's in love with the teacher. Her little sister is her sister.
Right.
Well, okay.
His father got remarried, and his daughters now are these two girls, the teacher and the student.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. These are his sisters now.
Yep.
So I'm saying it went from he's having sex with a student to him having sex with his sister.
No, he's not having sex with a student.
Yes, it's at the very beginning.
He's a teacher?
Oh, he's a high schooler.
He's a high schooler. That's what I was getting.
Okay. He looks old enough to be a teacher. Okay. It's a lot better now. Still wrong, but still. The PV makes him look like a teacher. Like, he looks older than everybody.
I agree. It was all over the place. I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on in the picture.
Look how old he looks compared to everybody else. He looks the same age as the teacher. I don't know. I'm confused. Okay. So schoolboy, sleeping with girl at school, likes teacher. His dad gets married. Now they're all his sisters. Dio Media is working on it. The girl's number, Fuka, Problem Children from Another World, Lost Village. Genres are drama, romance, school, shonen, and the source is a manga, so...
I'm hoping it's good drama. I'm hoping it's good drama, so...
Yeah.
I have hope.
Demon Pictures is a...
All kinds of teasing aside.
Yeah. I thought Demon Pictures was a group that did adaptations of games. That's weird. Let me see it. But it is Among Us, so let's see here. Domestic Nakanojo. I'll make sure I'm not... Why would it be a game? That'd be a weird game. Yeah, it's a manga, so there you go. Anyways, moving on. Mahou Shoujo Toku Shusen Asuka. When the world is threatened by a sudden appearance of undead creatures, a group of young women blessed with powers from a mysterious source rose to defeat them. Now, after 3 years of apparent peace, the same malevolent creatures have resurfaced. Five magical girls are once again conscripted to war as magical girls' special ops force to defend mankind from an unholy nemesis. This is the one that a while back we watched the PV on the discussional, and Chris was all super excited about it, so hopefully it lives up to its expectations. Yeah, you were like, something about if it focuses on something about special ops, it'll be really cool. I don't know. Magic Girls as Special Ops. Leiden Films is working on it. They did Yamada-kun, Seven Witches, Terraformars, Killing Bites, Hanabato, Love and Lies, Arslan Seki. These genres are drama, magic, and seinen. The source is a manga. And the creator is Makoto Fukami, who did script work for Psycho Pass and School Live, which, like I mentioned earlier, is also doing the series composition for Revisions that Netflix is working on. So, cool stuff. If you're looking for some violent magical girls with guns and junk, I have no clue. It seems like that's what's going to be. If you're looking for that,
I can see
definitely
that.
Check it out.
I could see me getting excited about the idea of using magical girls as special ops. I can see that.
Big lava monster. I'm not sure what they're going with there, but we'll see. I think it'd be good. I mean, if they can. It looks like they're keeping it pretty serious, but it doesn't really cross the line in the PV, so I'm not sure exactly how serious it's going to get. But I don't see anything that's bubbly or not the typical magical bubbliness in there. But again, at the same time, it's not showing anything that's like overly try-hard gritty. There was no blood. So that's kind of one of those things of like, yeah, it looks like it's going to be dark, but it's not going to be too dark, I guess?
Yeah.
When she sliced up that dude, I don't think she's
sliced
any blood.
The dude, it wasn't...
Oh, there was a little blood. Okay, I guess there's blood.
Yeah, it wasn't...
Show it, though.
It wasn't over-the-top gore.
His neck's not flinging open, and you can see, like, his spine, and I don't know.
it is a mix. I mean, it's one of those things that if... I could see it being a lot of fun if they just go ahead and play to the strengths of that kind of a genre, which would be an interesting concept altogether. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Maybe in between, like, Magical Raising Project and Madoka Magic, I guess, would be, like, the place it could be at. I don't know. All right, moving on, we have Endro. This is another one that we recently talked about on the Discussional podcast. We were pretty high on what it looked like. It looked pretty cutesy and bubbly. This one, the anime story is set in Naraland, a continent with swords and magic in which humans and monsters coexist. The terrible Demon King lives there. In ancient time, the first generation heroes defeated the Demon King. Over the many successive generations since then, the Demon King has been resurrected, and a hero who opposes him has likewise reappeared. Girls attend a school for adventurers in order to defeat the Demon King when he appears again. Though a bit absent-minded, Yusha has the body of a hero. The holy elf, Sela, troubles never end because she is too serious. The cheerful warrior, Fi, loves to eat. Mei is the quiet otaku magician. As the four girls aim to be the hero's party, they live relaxing fantasy lives in a show and show no signs of defeating the Demon King, no matter how much time passes. And there's a cute little demon lolly. I don't know why they didn't mention her in the synopsis, but there's a demon lolly. It's probably the Demon Lord.
Probably the Demon King, yeah.
The studio is Gakumi, who did Suited Children, Yuki Yuna's a Hero, Lance and Mesquez. The genres I don't have listed. It's an original series alongside a manga that they're releasing, and the series composition being done by Takashi Aoshima, who did Aho Girl, Gabriel's Dropout, Hagane Orchestra, and Himoto Maruchan. The creator and writer is the same one that did Yuru Yuri, so there you go. Cool stuff. But yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. The seiyuu cast is definitely top-notch. I recognize a lot of voices in there that are really great that I've loved in the past. So looks like they'll have a pretty awesome cast to go with it. It's a cute concept. I do like the visual style of it. I like the characters already. It is definitely probably going to live and die off if they can keep up a solid mixture of comedy. I'm certain they're probably going to play off a lot of the RPG jokes and a lot of the concepts of, again, fantasy and stuff like that. I just hope that they can keep a solid lineup of jokes and humor.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like it's going to rely heavily on making fun of tropes. It looks like they're going to parody the fire out of everything. So hopefully they won't tire the jokes out too quickly, and they'll just have a lot of fun and make a fun show.
Oh, Yuri elf ear chomping. Moving on, we have Girly Air Force. This one is, in the novel story, mysterious flying creatures known as Zai suddenly appear, and in order to fight the creatures, mankind creates fighter aircrafts called Daughters. That's interesting. As well as an automatic fighting mechanism, Anima, which are shaped like human girls. This makes the synopsis. I like putting context to the videos. The story centers around a young man named Kei Narutani, who yearns to fight in the skies. An anima considered to be humanity's trump card. A girl named Gripen, I guess? Probably Gripen. Interesting. Studio is Satellite. They did Disappearance of Nagato, Yuki-chan, Lord Marksman of Anatus, Log Horizon, Tuckinson Robbins. The genres are action and sci-fi. The source is a light novel, 9 volumes ongoing. And yeah, the thing I took from the PV is that it definitely has some interesting CGI dogfights. I wouldn't even call them dogfights. It's just like literally the planes just do things that makes absolutely zero sense. It's just they're just flying around without any kind of concern about velocity or wind or anything like that. Just they do whatever they want to do. So it's I don't think it's going to be very interesting dogfights because of that, but we'll see, I guess. Interesting concept, though. Well, I was, after the synopsis, I'm a lot more interested than I was just watching the PV. I'll just say that. It might have a cute little, can she be human kind of thing going forward, I guess.
So they're kind of like the Arpeggio and the Blue Steel, they're kind of like embodied. The CPU is embodied into a human girl, and it's actually the plane.
They're saying that there's the plane and then the girl. They're not saying they're the same. they created these crazy aircrafts, and then they created these girls who fly them.
Okay, so they're girls that fly the plane.
So the girl's not the plane. The girl flies the plane.
Okay.
But they're both created. I don't know. It could end up being that they're actually the heart of the plane. I don't know. We'll see.
Like the Arpeggio. Okay. See, and that'd be completely fine. You know, Arpeggio worked really well, actually.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. We have Ueno-san no Bukiyu, or How Clumsy You Are, Miss Ueno. The story centers around Ueno, a genius inventor who is in the third year or in the third grade at her junior high school. She also serves as the head of the school's science club and secretly falls in love with one of its members, second grade student Tanaka. Using her eccentric inventions, Ueno tries to confess her love to him indirectly, but her attempts always end up in failure. The studio is going to be L'Esprit, who basically just co-worked with Cinderella Girls, Gekijou. The genres are comedy, romance, seinen, and the source is a manga. This one's one of the ones I think is prime candidate for something that will end up dropping in the shorts area. Just because this is kind of an unknown studio. And it doesn't look too high budget, but it does look like a lot of goofy fun.
That's hilarious. I can't wait to see what they do with this. But yeah, I agree. It's probably definitely going to drop down into the short area.
Just keep in mind, it looks like it's going to be pretty risque with how much she teases him. Like a lot of her lift figure skirts and stuff, which I'm certain is probably going to be something of a joke and not really her doing that. Taking off their panties and giving her his panties. I don't know what they're doing there. We'll see when it actually comes out. So, yeah. Interesting. Interesting stuff. That guy is going to be tortured, and he probably will never like girls as he grows up because this girl is going to drive him crazy. And the the main girl, is voiced by the same seiyuu that did Satania from Gabriel Dropout. So that's going to make that intensely more funny because I love Satania from Gabriel. She was the only reason I loved Gabriel Dropout. And this character looks like she's personified as Satania.
Did you figure out who the other girl was? Because I thought I recognized both girls.
No, I didn't look up the other one. Well, I didn't look up either of them. Satania stands like a sore thumb. She's very unique. And she's kind of new, so... Moving on, Oshimapan. Watashi ni Tenshi ga Mayorita. Oh my gosh. The four-panel comedy manga story centers around on Miyako Hoshino, a shy college student and otaku. Miyako's younger sister, Hinata, is a fifth grader, has a classmate and a friend named Hana. We're just mentioning who these people are. Get the story. When they meet, Miyako falls for Hana at first sight. That was probably the worst synopsis ever. They're friends, and this girl falls in love with her friend, her little sister's friend. That's what it looks like in the PV. I got pretty much that from the PV. So, yeah. This is funny. This is the one that when I watch the PV, I immediately go, I think we're going to have to create a new genre. The genre is doting on kawaii kid.
Yep.
Because, like, every season we seem to have one of these. Like, this current season we're dealing with, we have the maid girl. So, it's just this whole concept of somebody absolutely loves this adorable kid. And then we wonder if it's going to end up crossing the line. It's the dote on kawaii kid, please don't cross the line.
Please don't cross that line, yeah.
Don't cross the line, John. I understand that she is absolutely adorable when she walked in that door. Please don't cross the line.
We'll call this new genre, don't cross that line.
Please don't cross the line. I agree. Don't cross the line. That's my idea. Anyways, Doga Kobo is the one that's working on this one. We kind of love Doga Kobo.
Yeah, our show did that again this week.
Yeah, did definitely. Why can't I think of the name of it? It's bothering me.
Uza Maid.
Uza Maid, yeah. Uza Maid is one of those dote on kawaii kid, don't cross the line. And they did. Every episode. One line. Why? Like I said, the studio is Doga Kobo, and we really love Doga Kobo, so that's a good plus for that one. They did 3D3 Colors, New Game, Plastic Memories, Luck and Logic, Myself, Yourself, blah, blah, blah. The genres are comedy, shoujo ai, and the source is a manga. And looks like it'll be a lot of fun, so we'll see. Strawberry Marshmallow is another one of those ones. Person doting on cute kids, don't cross the line.
Don't cross that line.
The boy Danshi characters, the Danshi babysitters, it's like doting on cute little kids, don't cross the line. Spin Forward is another one for that genre, is taking care of cute cat, don't cross the line. Dokunin wa hija toki doki atama no ue. The mysterious writer Mikazuki Subaru, who isn't good at dealing with people, finds himself to be a disturbance dealing when it comes to building his imaginary world. What in the world? Let me read this. Mysterious writer Mikazuki Subaru, who isn't good at dealing with people, finds them to be a disturbance when it comes to building his imaginary world. He's a writer. One day, he chances upon a stray cat and feels inspiration strike, so he begins, or brings the cat home as his muse. Can watching an inexplicable behavior of a cat form material for a novel? Studio is Zero G, who did Battery, Sugumomo, Dive, Doreku, Grand Blue, One Room. The genres are comedy slice of life, the source is a manga, and the series composition is being done by Hitomi Mieno, who did Amanchu, Shiroyukihime, Araka Under the Bridge, and Noragami. So, decent series composition writer, or not decent, but a solid series composition writer working on this one. But yeah, the PV has me going, what is this going to be about? Definitely captures the whole kind of isolated dude with a cat that just is very ferocious about a door at some point. So I'm very curious what they'll end up actually doing with this one. I get nothing out of the PV or the synopsis for this one. So we'll see if it's just cute guy with cute cat or if it's going to tell an awesome story that's going to blow me away out of nowhere.
I have no idea. I was really kind of curious as to what was going on with it. Go ahead.
I just have a weird feeling. I have just somewhere way back in the back of my head, it's telling me, Andrew, this is going to be the hidden gem of the season. This one's going to be the one that you have no idea what this is, and it's going to turn out to be like, it's going to knock you out.
You think so?
I'm going to listen to that, and I'm going to say this is going to end up being the one that nobody's seen coming, and it's going to blow us away. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Or I'm going to go, what the hell was I thinking? That's just going to make me have to watch the entire thing. It's like it'd be terrible, and I'm going to be at like episode 10 going, this is going to do it. It's going to do it. It's going to pull it through. It's going to do something crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looked like the guy died. We were going to the gates of heaven, and, you know, the cat was going ahead and carrying him there. I don't know if the cat was planning on taking over his body. There was a lot of things going on.
It's going to get dark. We'll see. We'll see.
But no, that's completely normal. Cats will totally scratch the crap out of
that
door.
Thing was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Next one we have is Koya no Kotobuki Hikotai. The story will take place in a barren frontier where people trade goods with each other in order to help each other survive. The Kotobuki squadron are bodyguards for hire, led by a strict but beautiful squadron leader, an unreliable commanding officer, and a true artisan of a crew chief. Alongside pilots who don't lack for personality, they take the air in dogfights, letting the engine noise of their Hayabusa fighters ring out in the skies. This one's being done by Studio Genba and WAO World or WoW World. I'm not sure exactly how that's pronounced. Genba worked on Berserk, the new series Berserk, and WoW World worked on Anime Gatari's Time Travel Shoujo. His genres are... I don't have any genres listed for it. This one is an original, being directed by Tsutomu Mizushima, who did Girls on Panzer, another Genjikin, Harengu, and Shirabako. And the series composition is being done by Michiko Yokote, who did Genjikin, Harengu, Takake-san, Shirabako, and Yamada-kun. So it's one of those ones where you watch the PB, you go, ew, gross CGI. You look at the studios and you go, ew, gross Berserk CGI. And then you look at everything else and it's like, this screams like they have the right people for the job. There should be no reason why Tsutomu and Michiko are working on this one, and there isn't a reason they're working on this one. So I have a desire for this to be really incredible, but I am very scared. It isn't bad CGI. It, again, is another one of those ones where they're going with a more cel-shaded look to it, kind of like Bubuki Bronki, kind of like. It has the same kind of oddness to the character design as well, so I'm definitely looking forward to this turning out to be something really cool because it has some solid people working on it.
Yeah, I going based on the PV, I was a little bit hesitant. I it was one of those, this could work out, because I do recognize the, like Andrew was saying, the Bubuki Bronki kind of feel to it. It did seem like they were very aware of G-forces and
unlike the last,
yeah, it's like one. Wow, okay, we're actually have the hair of the girls are actually kind of moving with the gravity and stuff like that, so it was like maybe. And now letting me know that there's people that I do know and trust as far as series composition and directorship, I that makes me feel a little bit more confident in the show. So I actually kind of shifted around a bit in my kind of placement for this one.
Yeah, I have a lot of positivity. The only negatives I have for this one is the planes look too hyper detailed. So if you have like the characters looking more cel shaded and anime style to them with very flat color or flat tones to them, and then having a very hyper detailed plane, they kind of conflict with each other. And the other thing is that I get like strong Pilot's Love Song vibes from it. Not the concept of romance, but just the whole, they're at this location, they're at this, you know, they're in the mess hall and they go out and fly, and so that makes me immediately go, don't get attached to anybody. So hopefully it won't be like Pilot's Love Song and people die every episode after they flag the hell out of them. We'll see. Hopefully not. But yes, I'm surprising how much confidence I have in that show just based on who's working on it. So if you see it and you go, ooh, CGI, you might want to give it a shot because, like I said, good people working on it. So we'll see. Next bit we have is, this is the one a lot of people have been waiting on. This is it's finally coming. This one is Kimu Rikusa. This one is a scientific fiction or science fiction action story, follows girls who fight with weird entities named Mushi or bugs and survive in a world of red fog. This one is, of course, being done by Tatsuki. For those who don't know who Tatsuki is, he is the guy that did Kimono Friends. He was the director and basically the creator of what we know as being the great Kimono Friends that we watched a few... Oh my gosh, we're going on like years now.
Has it?
Seems like it's been a year and a half or so now. But yes... Of course, for those who don't know, Tatsuki and the rest of his team at Yaroyorozu end up not being able to work on the next season of Kimono Friends, so they end up going off and doing their own project. I'm not saying that that's the reason they went off into their own project, but now they are doing their own project. They gained a lot of fame through Kimono Friends, so this is going to be... Of course, they've been doing some shorts here and there, so it's not like they haven't been doing anything yet since then, but this will be their first real full project. I am curious if this will be a full long series. I have another thought that this might be one that'll drop down to a short, but nothing really signifies that. But I hope that this works out for them because we loved it. Kimono Friends, I hope that wasn't a one-hit wonder. It was his project. They were giving nothing for Kimono Friends, and he made that. He made the story and everything, and they made it what it was. And so that, I hope they can do that again with this.
That brought him into the spotlight, and this is literally a fly or crash and burn, and it literally will decide. This will be, and I agree with Andrew. I hope that this takes off, and he actually gets the recognition he deserves for literally taking a diamond and or a piece of coal and making it into a diamond. Now, it's all him, but I hope that he actually succeeds.
Now, the things that I can say that make me less hesitant is that we watched a couple of his shorts that he did, and while I think they were pretty much without dialogue. It was just a girl going around like some really desolate, I don't even know what the hell it was. It was like one was like an elevator. It was like a empty location. This looks like it's going to be some sort of post-apocalyptic setting. There looks like it's ruins. It looks mysterious. So I hope that he can pull off something really cool with that. He definitely did pull off a pretty cool little atmosphere with those shorts. So again, I hope he's not just a one-hit wonder, and this is something that he can pull off again going forward. So, and it's really scary because Kimono Friends season 2 is going to be the season 2. So I don't know if that was intentional, but we will see. The negative I would give the synopsis or the PV that we've seen is it literally had no motion to it. I mean, they had one girl was like rubbing one other girl's ear, but it didn't have any action scenes. They weren't really moving around. It was just a lot of talking with them kind of just sitting there. So that has me a little concerned. Like, okay, at least show some movement in your PV. We'll see though. Grimms notes the animation is the next one we have. The game takes place in a world created by a beings known as, that's plural, but anyway, known as storytellers. At birth, all inhabitants of the world are bestowed with a book of fate. This sounds familiar. where all their lives are written in advance. Oh, maybe that's a little different. However, rogue storytellers known as chaos tellers are writing bad events into people's books without them knowing. It's all up
those
to
the sly chaos tellers.
It's all up to the holders of the blank books of fate to seek out chaos tellers and restore the world. So being done by Studio Brainsbase, who did Kuranai, Penguin Drum, Romantic Comedy Snafu, Bacano, One Week Friends. The genres are action, adventure, magic, fantasy, and the source is a game. So we'll see if that's going to actually turn out to be anything different. I think it is a technically a iOS game, so hopefully that doesn't, you know, limit it. But the PV did look pretty meh. I didn't really get anything out of it, so hopefully the finished product. I mean, the character designs are solid. It didn't look like there was any wonky character designs, but maybe they were showing their best clips. We'll see.
Yeah, I didn't get much from the PV, and the synopsis isn't helping that much. I'm actually more curious as to what the heck's going on with their gacha than anything out of this. So, I mean, if that tells you anything, what the heck are you gonna gacha in this game? It's fine.
That's what's sad is every time I see these. Yeah, every time I see a mobile game or every time I see a game that's or anime based off of a mobile game, it's like, how many of the characters are we gonna see that you're gonna that your mobile and your gacha is based off of? It's just sad. That is the state of mobile these days. Yeah, we'll see. Pastel Memories are next one. An otaku girls role-playing game takes place a little bit into the future in 20XX. Akihabara, which is once called the Otaku Holy Land, is now in decline after otaku culture itself what? Has declined.
No.
Skipping this one, moving on.
Right?
What a terrible synopsis. Here's an idea. Let's destroy what you love. Anyways. Is now in decline after otaku culture itself has declined. Players take on the role of a manager of one of the few remaining otaku shops. The manager helps to raise various talented otaku girls, and together, players and the girls battle a virus that is infecting the world of various works, while also retrieving people's lost memories. So another game. And the gacha are the maids that you're going to have in your little shop.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is that in the battle scenes they had, it looked like it was pretty steampunky looking. So that's cool. Steam coming out of weapons and junk. But yeah, it is.
You can have a lancer maid or a gunner maid.
And the bad guys show up and your otaku girls run out there and fight for you. Hope you get the cute ones in your gacha rolls. Studio
definitely
is,
need 5 or 6 stars.
Project number 9. Never a Girl Online, this work they've done. Angel 3 Piece, Kronos Ruler, Ryo's work he's never done, etc.
At least they know how to do cute, so.
Genres are action, adventure, sci-fi. The source, like I said, is a game. And The one thing I did notice about the PV is it had like some crazy, like old school 80s anime, like English rock music, like out of nowhere. I'm like, what in the world is this music? So that was interesting. Just having that old school style pop music. But yeah, that's another gacha game anime. Next one we have is the return of Neko's favorite studio, Gohan's. This one is Wiz, or W apostrophe Z. The anime centers on Hukiya, who is probably 14 years old. This actually says it's probably 14 years old. He spends his time DJing alone due to his father's influence. He's listened to the house music since he was young, and he uploads videos online. He wants to convey something to someone. He wants to be recognized and become important, but getting hurt is scary. One day, while trying to get more views, he does something that can't be undone, and he sees a live broadcast from that world. Yukiya believes that he can't do anything alone, but that he could accomplish something if he were doing it together with someone else.
Yeah, he needs to go get a sleeping lolly out of the hospital, obviously.
Obviously.
I'm sorry.
He needs to get a cute boy. There is no girls in this.
There was one just a second ago.
There was a girl.
See, and this is the thing. I have not a lot of hopes for this. And the problem is because all I see is the other show in this. This is literally the second part of the last show.
Handshakers?
Yeah.
No.
That's exactly what it's coming out to me as. It looks exactly like... No. The director's going, no. Really, the story was good. You guys just missed it. Come back and let me show it to you again.
They're all boys. I don't know where you're getting a girl from.
There was a girl in one of the scenes a second ago.
It was probably a random citizen standing there.
Or it was a guy that had a flannel on his a flannel shirt on his waist.
Yeah, probably.
That's possible.
No, this one was when they were talking about this one, they were pretty heavy on the idea of it being music based. The unfortunate thing is, as much as I enjoy a lot of Gohan's music, especially with the K-Series, I love the music in K-Series. The music in this one, even though he's supposed to be a DJ and house music, it was just full-on boy band music. So it's like, you could have given us something fun and action-y rather than just a very generic boy band type songs. So it is one of those ones. And Gohan's has always kind of danced that line between being really strong with its kind of being in the middle between the male and the female fandom, but this one feels like it's kind of pushing that further towards the female fandom with the pretty boys and the boy band music playing. So that's one of those unfortunate things that I see in it. For those who don't know, Gohan's did K-Series, they did Capillion, Bardock Scramble, and yes, here recently, Handshakers. My hope is that this will be them kind of taking a step back. Step back away from what you did with Handshakers and go back to what was successful with the K-Series. Maybe Handshakers was really popular in Japan. I don't remember looking at the statistics when it was airing or when they released the Blu-rays, if they did better with that one. But it was very well destroyed when it came over here to the West. And that was mainly because they went too far with the CGI, too far with the panning camera angles, and too far with just... not a lot of detail put into their environments. And that was the big, huge killer for it. The PVs for Handshakers were really awesome. The action scenes were awesome. But those are the only ones they put a lot of detail into. Everything that was in the show itself were just very barren environments and stuff that they were fighting in. So hopefully they don't fall into that issue again with this one. It ends up being more of a, even though they do have like the shots coming out from the through the ground, that kind of gives me a bad sign. But I want K-Series back. I don't want another Handshakers. If they do another Handshakers, I'll probably step away from it. I hope the music's good. I'll have to wait and see. I love hope. Yeah, that does look like a girl. It could just be a guy with long hair. We'll see.
And
a guy with a skirt. Yeah, a guy with a skirt. Yeah,
I got you.
Could be a trap. Let's see here. Let's go on to Egao no Daika. This one is the Cost Smile. The Cost of Smiles is the English title they have for it. The upcoming original animation series by Tatsunoko Productions that's celebrating their 55th anniversary on a planet far from Earth. The kingdom, there is a kingdom full of smiling faces. Princess Yuki is 12 years old and about to enter the sensitive age in a person's life. Every day she cries, laughs, and sometimes her heart throbs with excitement. All the while, she lives merrily in a royal palace, filling her days with color, and her loyal loyal vessels. Her tutor, Reira Izana, who assists in political affairs, the leader of the chivalry, Harold. What the hell is this? And then there is her childhood friend and aide, Joshua. Yuki, if you have the spirit and guts, you can do anything. No, not this again. Joshua, be nobler. It's weird. On the other side, Stella is 17 years old and is a capable reserved soldier. However, she is always smiling, for smiling is essential to living. This is the story of two girls born on distant planets. So, yeah. I read that before, and that's the only reason I knew to interject in there, that there's a different side to this. I remember when we read this on the discussional podcast, that would confuse the hell out of me. Again, Tatsunoko Production is doing it for their 55th anniversary. They did Psychopaths, Gatchaman Crowds, tons of other ones like Gatchaman, Bokan, Speed Racer, yada, yada, yada. The genres are military, slice of life, drama, fantasy. Again, the source is original. The director is Toshimasa Suzuki, who did Pilot's Love Song, Fafnir Dead Aggressor movie. The series composition being done by Shinichi Inosume, who did Yona the Dawn, Gangsta, and again, Pilot's Love Song. So, expect people to die, because we have two people working on it that did Pilot's Love Song. Mm-hmm. This is the second time I'm bringing up that show. Probably spoil it for people, but yeah. It's not nice. Yeah, lots of, it looks like it's two sides to a war, probably. Two different cultures that are going to end up connecting via these two people. This 12-year-old Yuki and 17-year-old Stella. It does look pretty solid. The visuals look, I like the character designs. The action is CGI with mechas, but it does have a decent style to it to make it kind of blend in with the character designs and the colors that they're using for the characters. There's a little bit too much polish on them, but I think it's not too much. So I'm pretty excited for this one. I don't have any reason not to be. Nothing about it doesn't jive with me. So I'm pretty on board with this one. And I'm always on board with the originals.
I really like the concept, and I really think that it looks really good. So I'm very, very excited about it. But I do have a hesitance in the fact that there is a kind of it feels like it's going to be very mechy, and I don't know that I'm completely on board with that as far as the story that it's trying to tell. So we'll see how it works out.
The only positive, or the only counter I would say to that, is that the other PVs had no mecha in it. It was really only this PV that we got recently that actually had the mecha in it. So, but yeah, they could definitely have that be the thing with each episode, have an action scene to kind of fill in the rest of the story for that episode. That is definitely something that's often done in anime. So
I'm not totally.
There's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a conflict there.
I'm fine with the conflict. I hope what I mean by that is I hope that it doesn't become distracting. And if you're thinking that it's going to be more the story than the mechs, then I think it'll be fine.
It'll be probably a balance. I can totally see it being a balance back and forth. They'll use the mecha as a tool to have the conflict be present and visual to the viewer, rather than probably a lot of political talk. But yeah, moving forward, we have Circlet Princess, another game anime. The game follows a fictional near-future esports that utilizes a mixed reality system developed from augmented reality technology. The story centers on a fledgling team of high school girls from St. Union Academy who pursue the sport of circlet bout. So being done by Studio Silverlink, who did Magic of Stella, Fate Kalai Liner, Nana Biori, Sisters All You Need, Mitsubishi Colors, Hokoro Connect. The source, like I said earlier, is a game. So, yeah. This is a sad... PV is just very basic battler girl kind of thing. So, nothing really much to go by. I'm not at all excited for this one. The only positive I can give it is that it looks like the fight scenes at least look like they're animated and not CGI. And that's a huge plus. Usually they kind of give this stuff to just CGI. Hopefully it's decent animation. It looks pretty good in the PV itself, but I'm a little sad because it is Silverlink, and they've done a lot of really awesome stuff. So I hope that that's not something that
they're hiding. They're hiding the backgrounds pretty well. That's for sure. Yeah.
Next one is Bermuda. Oh, sorry, Bermuda Triangle Colorful Pastorale. Yeah, mermaid show. The glittering spotlights, the sparkly, fluffy, cute outfits, the charming voices while dancing with bright smiles under the dazzling light of the big city stage, these would be the mermaid idols who swim and dance freely underwater. Interesting synopsis. But far from the big city, the girls once lived in the peaceful village of Perel. These girls, who would not even imagine such a glittering future for themselves, are instead just raising a fuss over the snack cakes that they are eating. This is the story of a cheerful daily life of mermaids who strive their hardest every day.
Well, the most important thing in life is your cakes, obviously.
What was that about? It went from like talking about idle mermaids to...
cakes.
We just
because cakes are
cakes.
Important.
Why did you even bring up the idols and stuff? They just want to eat cakes. Why don't you say this mermaid's eating cake? I don't know. Maybe it's just a setup.
I just wish I understood why the PV looks a little bit dark. I mean, who's stuck in the window thing?
What's stuck in the what?
In a crystal. Somebody was stuck in a crystal.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Seven Arcs is doing it. They did Trinity 7, Wishibugyo, Dog Days. Vivid Strike. The genres are fantasy music. The source is original. And the director working on this is Junji Nishimura, who did Bakuan, Dog Days, Glass Slip, True Tears, and Vivid Strike. The series composition is Michiko Yokote, who I mentioned earlier did Kinjikin, Harengu, and Shirobako. So there's another one where it's like, it's an original. It's got solid people working on it. Why is this a thing? Is there actually something here? So we'll see. Maybe it's just... you know, something to, you know, take the load off and just make a goofy little mermaid show. I don't know. And the last one we have for the new shows is Dimension High School. I don't have much to go on this one, just the synopsis. The high school boys are transported to an anime world where they are in cram school. Since then, they start school life in an anime world they are transported to. So essentially, anime characters are transported to an anime world where they do... anime schoolboys are transformed to an anime school setting to do anime school. Interesting.
So it's an isekai into an the isekai. Normal world. No,
technically into their same world.
Wow.
That'd be like...
Like,
I
brain
work on,
has
like,
been
like
broken.
Truck mechanic isekais to a world where he's a truck mechanic. It's like, okay.
Wow.
Congratulations.
This is insane.
Definitely.
It's like super meta.
Fish out of water badly. It's like fish out of water to fish tank. I don't know. But that's a thing. All right. So let's
fish
run
in
through.
The fish tank.
Yeah, fish in a fish tank. Fish out of water to the fish tank. Returning series that are coming back. We have for the winter 2019 season, Mob Psycho 100 is coming back for season 2. Still being done by Studio Bones. Be madly excited for crazy, psychotic action scenes and weird character designs that Andrew can still not get over. But I was pretty hot on it for its later part, so I'm hoping that season 2 just keeps it going. We'll see. Did you ever finish that one? Okay. Kakegururi XX, the second season.
You said that you were mixed on whether or not I should... pick it up.
Oh, I had nothing about it was going to be all interested to you. I'm just curious if you ever did. It did nothing that you'd be interested in. So Kakegurui season 2 is coming back. Again, Studio MAPPA's doing this one. I'm hoping that it will finally give a story for the main character, because that was the only real huge negative I had for the review for the season 1, which I have not yet released yet, but hopefully I'll release it by the time I review season 2. But again, that will probably be Netflix, so expect that one to be another one that will probably release sometime mid next year.
And you were saying that maybe I'd be interested in this one?
I don't know. That's one that you're just going to have to watch. I have no clue if you'll like it or not. It's very over the top. It's very King's Game-ish with the psychotic, weird characters. And they're just try hard, dark, and derpy faces. Date Alive season 3 is coming back. Or Date Alive is coming back with season 3.
One of these days you'll actually catch up, right?
I need to catch up on that one, yes. Every season...
I'm so excited about this.
Every season, there's a show that comes out that is like the third season of something, and I'm like, I wish I got caught up on that one. We had... we went from Dive... Not Dive, what was it called? Free. We had Free came out, and then we had like the Index, Magical Index come out. There's like every season we have something that's like, crap, need to get caught up.
I can't wait. I'm so happy that this is coming back. So
yeah. I got like 8 episodes in the season 1. It just was like, bleh. But again, tastes have changed a little bit since then, so maybe I'll try it again. It was on sale here recently, and I was thinking of picking them up just for that purpose, but yeah. 3D Kanojo season 2, or Real Girl season 2, is coming out. I didn't really like season 1, but I hope that season 2 is better. I'm mixed on if I'll watch it or not, but I did not like season 1 at all, so... I liked parts of it, but not really all that much. Bang Dream season 2 is coming out, being done by Sens again. I believe this is going to be a new studio doing it this time, so I think it's going to be full CGI this time. Wasn't that what the big change that we're going to have? Was that going to be full CGI? Yeah, they did Bubuki Bronki and Arpeggio. So yeah, they will probably be doing full CGI for that one, so be expecting that. Interesting. And of course, like we mentioned earlier, Kimono Friends is coming back.
I hope it crashes like...
See, I'm totally mixed on this. It is. A part of me, it's like, I don't want this other studio, Tomasan, to be like... I don't want them to get the flack for this, because Tomasan is not like at fault for this. But at the same time, the owners of Kimono Friends have basically kicked us all in the face. So it's kind of like one of those things, like you took it from somebody that we thought did something special with it. We don't know the circumstances behind it. Tatsunoko, whatever his name, the team that did the original Kimono Friends could be total jerks and we just didn't know it. It could have been totally their fault. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want it to succeed at the same time, because I want it to be a reason why it was so successful was because that team did it.
And that's the funny thing. It's like, I don't want to see
conflict
it.
Conflict of interest.
I don't want to see it. I want to see it crash and burn, but I really don't, because I did really, really enjoy it. But okay, did I enjoy it because of the team that was behind it, or did I enjoy it because it was Kimono Friends? And so I'm really, really stuck in this kind of weird spot.
It's a struggle, just because of the fact that, like we said before, Kimono Friends was a game that was going to come out on the phones. It was going to be a mobile game. It never got released on a mobile game. Tatsuki and Yoyoruzo, they were given nothing for this. He created that world. He created that story. He created the characters. Made them what they were, gave them the person, they breathed life into these characters, and now somebody else is going to take it. You literally have the reason why it was successful is no longer a part of it. It can't succeed. There should be no reason why it will succeed. But again, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo it or anything like that, but I don't know. You ripped my heart out. It's almost like one of those things where I just don't even want to touch it, because I don't want to have that be... I don't want my thoughts there to affect my thoughts of the show itself. So, but I know a lot of people are going to probably talk to death about it, if it's going to be successful or if it's going to be trash. Anyways, Fukigen na Mononokian Suzuki, or the second season of the Morose Mononokian. This one is, we were pretty hot on a lot of the stories on the original series of this one. So I am actually pretty much looking forward to another season of it. I hope it can kind of recapture what we were enjoying about it, which were these really cute little stories that were kind of very Mushishi-ish. So,
yeah,
I guess it's more like Natsumi's Book of Friend-ish. It's more of that flavor. So, yeah. Piano no Mori second season. So they were going to conclude the Piano no Mori series. Again, this is another Netflix series, so expect this conclusion to be somewhere-ish. B Project Zecho Emotion, which is the second series of B Project. I know nothing about it. More boy band kind of stuff, idol stuff. And finally, Meiji Tokyo Rinka is coming out for another series. So if you're a fan
something
of
something about one, broccoli?
Huh?
Something about broccoli?
No, it's Haikara Ramen Ginkanjo 4? Oh, that's the actual thing. Series based off of Broccoli's romance simulation. Broccoli's a producer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They do visual novels.
It's based on Broccoli, though.
I thought you meant there was a translation there.
It's based on Broccoli, Andrew. It's based on Broccoli.
Finally, we have shorts. We have three new shorts coming out. We have Shingeki no Bahamut Minaria Friends, which is that short Minaria and Friends Rage Bahamut series that we were talking about like 3 years ago. Like back in 2016 or something like that.
It's totally going to be just an ecchi.
It is very eerie. I don't know where you're getting ecchi from, but yeah, if you're looking for a cute demon girl, regular girl, eerie-ish cutenesses, there you go. I think they originally had a genre eerie on it when it was originally talked about. So they do look like they're kind of have a relationship going. So it's really cute. Really like the characters from Rage of Bahamut. Hopefully somebody besides MAPPA can pull off something really cool here. So, because MAPPA made Rage of Bahamut what it was. I don't know how connected Cygames was to Rage of Bahamut. So,
Cygames was the one that owned it.
I know they own it. I'm just saying I'm not sure how much involvement they had with the story that MAPPA did for Rage of Bahamut. So, there you go. Amerikoko Saiji, which is Ame Iro Koko season 5.
Andy has decided that this is the reason why I will love Rainy Coco now.
Yeah, he's probably going to go back and get caught up on the original series because he's got to know who the cute little lolly girl is and connect to the characters in a crucial way before they take over Rainy Colors Cafe, because this is the one where all the girls take over Rainy Colors Cafe. And they kick out all the pretty boys that were ruling it for 4 seasons.
Except for the boss.
I like these really crappy close-ups of, like, really pixelated artwork and stuff. Like, what is wrong with their people that make the PBs for this?
The boss is coming back with a lolly. That's how it all started.
Panning images. It's just terrible.
I get it now.
He just, like, brings back a little girl to the cafe and then just leaves it to a bunch of schoolgirls to take care of the kid, I guess, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You can't have boys taking care of the lolly.
And the last one The last one we have is Mini Toji, which is a TV version of Toji no Miko, which of course is that little sword girls I think it was called Sword Girls or something like that series that was like 2 seasons ago. It's just a TV version of it, which is being done by Project Number 9. So there you go. That's it. Of course, the series that are continuing from fall 2018 into winter 2019 is Sword Art Online, because that one is running for a whole 100 episodes. Now, I'm not confirming if that's going to be rolling right into winter. I don't know that I actually seen that one in the listings for it. I do know that that was supposed to be slated for 4 cores. So, not 4 cores, but yeah, 4 cores. Is it 4 cores? I know it's 100 episodes or 4 cores. Now I'm forgetting. One of the two of them. I think it's just 4 cores. So, be excited for that. And like I said, I'm not sure if they're going to split core it or if it's just going to roll right into winter. I'm trying to see if I can find it in the list. Yes, it's in the list. So, yes, it is confirmed to be going into the next season. So, cool stuff. Yeah, see on this one right here on AnyChart, they're listing it as 24 episodes. So that could mean that they're going to only go for 24 episodes, and then they're going to split court. So expect that we will only get 24 episodes for right now for Sword Art Online, 2 cores. Anyways, the other shows that are also confirmed is That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, which will go 24 episodes, 2 cores. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which is going for 39 episodes. Magical Index Season 3 is going to go for 26 episodes. Radiant is going for 21. Run with the Wind, 23. Karakuri Circus, 36 episodes. Hinamaru Zoma, which is going 24 episodes. And Ace Attorney Season 2 is going for 24 episodes. So, cool stuff. A lot of really, really cool shows in there that we've been enjoying. So, happy to see them continuing on. And the last bit we have here is some kind of notable ONAs and movies that are coming out. We have, of course, the second of the Fate Stay Night Heaven's Feel movies coming out, Lost Butterfly. So that is exciting. We have Code Geass, the Fukatsu no Lelouch, which is the story that takes place shortly after Zero's Requiem. Let's see here, Yojo Senki movie, which is the sequel movie for Saga Tanya Evil, will be coming out. We have a Princess Principal movie coming out, which is a 6-part film depicting a story after the television series has been announced, which is what that is. We have the compilation film for Made in Abyss. Let's see. Psychopath Sinners of the System, Case 1. That one's coming out. Let's see. Trinity Movie 2 was coming out. I didn't know that Trinity movie, Trinity 7 was even having movies, but apparently that's a thing. I don't know if you knew that. The System Case number 2 for Psychopaths also will be coming out. Let's see here. That Ashita Sekai ga Owaru Toshi Temo movie is coming out, so that's interesting. Also, Matsu is going to have a movie. And for ONAs, we have Aramanga Sensei OVA. The Grisaya Phantom Trigger will come out. High Score Girl is getting an OVA. Wataku is getting an OVA. I really wanted to see that one. Ikitosen, Western Wolves. I did not know that they were still doing Ikitosen, so there you go. And that looks like pretty much it. Cool stuff. Danmachi is getting something. Orion no Ya. So there you go. So did you get your 5 together, Chris? Did you manage to make it in time?
Oh, I've got too many.
I don't think I actually changed anything. I usually end up writing it beforehand and then changing my mind at some point. I will say that after kind of thinking about it, I am still really into Indro, but I did not have that. Indro and the Kyoya no Katabuki Hikatai, the other CGI anime about the girls with planes. What is the English title for that?
That one's probably... It looks like it's the plane, something about the planes. The planes is at the end.
The planes at the end?
Yeah, that last word is plane. Hiko utai. That's Hikoki is plane. So it's...
Good job.
Maybe it's old.
Squadron, so plane squadron in the wilderness is what... Kotobuki squadron in the wilderness. Yeah, they're the Kotobuki squadron. I don't know why I'm thinking that needs to be translated. Anyways, so yeah, Kotobuki Squadron in the Wilderness, that one I'm actually really interested in that I wasn't interested in before. And like I said, I still think that cat rider guy is going to be the hidden gem of the season. We'll see.
But I think that you could be right on that. On the cat thing.
It's the only one that I don't know what the hell is going on with it. Like all the other ones, I can probably say if it's going to turn out great or not based off the PVs. That's the only one I have no clue. But anyways, my list that I had beforehand is still pretty much there. Boogie Pop is going to be my number one. I am so excited for that. Dororo is right underneath it, which is the MAPPA show about the samurai. Indro is going to be a lot of fun. It looks really cute. It's the girls that are in the demon world just having shenanigans, fantasy fun. The Cost of Smiles, I still think that's going to be something pretty solid there. The Promised Neverland is right after that one. I don't know too much about it. Like I said, it could be totally angsty, but it does have a lot of potential there. And like I said, there's a lot of talk going on behind it. And the last one that I have on there is, of course, Kimu Urikusa, which is the new show by the guys that did Kimono Friends. So I'm just really hoping that one turns out to be something cool.
All right. For me, I think you're right on the cat. The other one that I have my kind of eyebrow kind of pointed towards is Cost of Smiles. I think that one... If it does catch on really quickly, it could probably go way out of the park. I mean, just looking at the pedigree behind it, it looks like it has a solid team behind it. So I'm very, very interested in that one. But I've got Shield Hero as my one of my big ones that I'm really, really interested in. Clumsy Ueno, I think that one could be a lot of fun. Like I said earlier, the Plane Squadron one, that is definitely one that I'm really, really intrigued on. I really want to see where that one goes. The Magical Girl Asuka, I think that one could be interesting. I'm really kind of interested in seeing where that one goes. But that's kind of on my I'm not sure list. Kimuri Kusa, I really, really want to see where that one goes. I want to see if that does end up being the kind of hidden gem of this season, just like Kimono Friends ended up being last time that they came out. And the Watashi, the Tenshi Mayorida, so the Angel Mayorida. I think that one looks like it could be really cute. Love is War is also on my questionable list. Dororo is on my questionable list, mostly because it's MAPPA, and every time MAPPA does these pull back from the gobs of history shows, it ends up being something that we're really, really enjoying. So Ushio and Tora, we're doing the circus one this season.
It's, yeah, technically somebody else, but they worked under them with Ushio and Tora, so I still say it's MAPPA-ish.
And then Indro, I think, is on my questionable list, so I'm interested in seeing where that one goes.
Yep. Like I said, the only ones that were in my list that I'm still pretty... I agree with you. I'm pretty excited about the Shield Hero, mainly because Puppy Girl, we don't get enough Puppy Girls. Come on, we need more Puppy Girls. And like I said, he has an interesting kind of style to him. And like I said, that Cat Rider. For some reason, my mind, I cannot let that Cat Rider go. There's got to be something there. I hope they surprise everybody. I want it to do something really interesting. So we'll see. So yeah, that's our rundown of winter 2019 anime season. Like I said, all this stuff is subject to change. Some of this stuff can disappear. Some of this stuff can reappear. Some stuff can become short. Some can become full length ones. It's always up till the last minute. Sometimes we've had that where like literally we did the preview a week before it started and like two things changed. So ever changing list, but I think that's pretty solid. I don't think anything changed for like a good 2 weeks after I set this up. So yeah, if there's one that you're excited about, definitely let us know in the comments that we have for the thread for this particular podcast episode. Again, we hope you guys enjoyed this rundown of the winter 2019 anime season, and you all take care.
Oh.